a lot of people don't realize that, man, if you're stuck and you've got, say, a $10,000 problem, that if it just had 10 grand in your bank account, it would just get you back on your feet so that you can get ahead. Well, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, in this house flipping game, you're just one flip away from putting 10 grand in your bank account.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Today, I think you're going to want to stay tuned, you're going to listen in, and you're going to want to have a notepad. We're going to take a different approach. I've got joining me in studio a gentleman I met in San Diego at the New Media Summit, Steve Osler's event, and his name is Tom Nardone. Now, Tom is known as the Millionaire Mailman. And Tom started working at the post office back as a mailman in the 80s. And it didn't take him very long to realize that the security of a good job or the entrapment of a good job really was no different than a 30 or 40 year jail sentence. So if you feel trapped, then your income is limited. So Tom started buying houses on his mail routes. And after 25 years of buying, holding, buying, selling houses, Tom has bought and sold over 250 properties. He's also co-authored the book, The Secrets of the Real Estate Millionaires, and has created and written courses for several real estate information products. Tom has twice been featured on television with two appearances on the Good Morning America and Charlie Gibson and Joan London, as well as CNBC's Power Lunch with Bill Griffith, with radio appearances on the Cash Flow Show and the Real Estate Related podcast. So I'm super excited today to talk about taking a different direction, looking at your marketing, and maybe looking at exiting your career and doing something to get you out of that 30 or 40 year trap. So welcome to the Real Marketing Real podcast today.
Thanks for having me on the show, Doug. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm super excited that we connected, because I remember when we first met in San Diego, you had such a great personality and such a great presence. And as we talked about before we started recording, a shtick that really got people's attention, and they were just drawn to know who is this guy and what's he doing?
Well, thanks. Yeah, I tried to do as much as I could at that event that would serve as a memory point for people to just never forget who I was.
So before we pick your brain and figure out all your top marketing secrets and why you've been so successful at what you're doing, why don't you share just a little bit of your backstory? I mean, this is an unconventional story in that you've taken, you know, two totally different career directions.
Sure, Doug. Yeah, I actually started working for the post office as a mailman down here in sunny South Florida. I live in the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area, which is close to Miami, and realized after working and starting there at age 19, after about 5 or 6 years, that the post office was a good job, but it really wasn't like my highest calling in life. So I set out to do some other things, and my wife and I at that time, to try to get out of the grind of working daily on these jobs, we tried different multi-level marketing opportunities, and there's some good ones out there, but we couldn't find one that worked for us. And then about the mid-80s in South Florida here, we had a lot of these no money down gurus that would kind of blow through town on a regular basis, you know, selling their no money down information products. And I was lucky, I hooked up with a couple mentors that were real guys, and they made me aware that, listen, you'd be a great fit for flipping houses because you're a mailman. So all day long, you either walk around or you drive around, you see houses. So you'll be able to see things that no one else sees, and you'll be really good at this. So I took their advice, and I used my job being a mailman as kind of a platform to give me an unfair advantage over the market of other investors that were doing the same.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I just making a note here, it says that you'll be able to see things that nobody else will be able to see. So I think that's so applicable to so many people in their jobs. So I guess the question to our listeners is, you know, what things are you able to see that nobody else can see? And how can you take that and leverage that like you did and turn it into a, you know, a super successful business?
Sure. Well, back in the 80s, if you remember, I bought my first investment property in 1985. We didn't have some of the tools that people even take for granted today. Like, there was no internet. Okay. There really were no computers. There weren't any cell phones in 1985. Or if it was a cell phone, it usually came in a big suitcase and, you know, you carried around with you and it was only for the rich and elite. But, you know, just being out in the neighborhoods all day, I would see houses that had tall grass. I'd see houses that had, you know, water turnoff notices around the doorknob. Mailbox was stuffed with mail. Newspapers piled up in the driveway. Stuff like that. And those were a great lead because you couldn't find those things online. And I'll contend to say that even in this day and age, it's hard to find those things online. So the things that a mailman sees as far as the real estate business goes is huge, you know, because those are good leads for people who want to flip houses. Because if there's a vacant rundown house somewhere, like the ones I would see on my mail route, those are a very good lead for somebody who's trying to buy a house below the market.
So what did your wife think at that time? You said, hey, I've got a new idea. I think we should start buying houses.
You know, she was really okay with it because we had to find something that worked for us. And I'll say when I started out, it wasn't a get-rich-quick scheme for me at all. It was, you know, sensible. It was a get-rich-slow plan for sure. And I almost like to say that I started out sort of backwards in the business because I started out buying and holding. And I was building this big retirement for one day when I'm going to retire. And I guess that I had some foresight being 25 years old at the time. Now I'm 58. And some of the houses that I bought 30 years ago, just through the natural plan of paying off a 30-year mortgage, 30 years later, I figured the last payment will be made. I own the house and then I could keep all the rent money. So that's kind of a no-brainer. But, you know, if I had to start all over again, I'd probably start out buying and selling and taking care of today's cash flow needs first. Build up a pile of money and then start buying and holding and thinking about, you know, the long-term residual income that can bring.
Now, you don't have any real estate background. Are you a licensed realtor or no?
No, never been licensed. Don't have a real estate license. I probably have grown my knowledge to be greater than what most realtors understand about real estate because I've taken a lot of seminars. But yeah, I have no professional licensing. I just figured a lot of this out by myself with competent mentors I've had over the years.
That's really cool. Yeah, I know a couple of guys I had met years ago that are in the business. They're down in Utah. And what's interesting is, you know, they talk about the stuff that you've just shared with our listeners is that they need people feet on the street to go actually walk neighborhoods and look for that. They have a whole list of things that you look for to see if a house maybe is, like you said, is abandoned or is an opportunity to purchase. But it's really, they're training people to do what you are already doing.
Yeah. And it's funny how that works and comes full circle because here we are in this digital internet age and information is readily available in most markets right at your fingertips of your keyboard. But it's those houses that are sitting there vacant that are not on any type of marketing list or direct mail list that no one knows about, but somebody giving it a visual eyeball. And, you know, it's kind of hard to scale because, you know, you can't be obviously spending every day driving up up and down every street in America looking for vacant houses. But if you can figure out some kind of bird dog system like I did using mailmen to do that for you, then it became an edge that I had that other people didn't.
So that's really cool. So you've brought in other mailmen to help you identify properties then?
Yeah, I would just tell them, hey, you know, all day long you drive by these things, you see houses with the tall grass and you know that they're vacant. And if you're the regular mailman, you know when somebody's living there or not living there. So those would be a good lead for me. And if I close on one of those deals, you know, I'll take care of you at Christmas time, give you a little Christmas tip or something. So that's how I kind of built the network that nobody else knew how to do.
That's really cool. It's really, I just like how creative you are and what you've done. And I think that so many times people get into a job or like you've said, like a jail sentence. So they get the 40-year, used to be the 40-year plan, and you're working along and they're not happy with what they're doing. And I could never understand why people would keep going to a job they didn't like. But in this case, you're saying, hey, you know, it's not that you didn't like it, but you saw a different opportunity. You wanted a side hustle for a better life for your family.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the big picture here might be, you know, what do you want to have one day when you get down to retirement? If you just have 10 properties, like 10 houses, single family homes, real simple program, paid for, free and clear, and the average one rents for $1,500 to $2,000 a month, and all you got to do is pay the taxes and the insurance once they're paid for. I mean, that's an income for retirement that most Americans will never experience. And it's solid. You know, once a house is free and clear, no one can take it from you. If you have insurance on it and it burns down to the ground, you get it replaced. So it's a pretty good plan.
Yeah, I had heard some financial numbers, and I'm not saying that these are accurate, but these are the numbers I had heard at a seminar, was that the average American when the big financial crisis in the real estate market crashed and burned, the difference between people keeping their homes and losing their homes was less than $1,000 a month.
Yeah, let me tell you, and I did go through that crash. And did I have some setbacks, to be totally honest with you, Doug? Yeah, it was a painful time. And mainly because all the fundamentals of the business itself were just messed up.
Sure.
You know, banks weren't lending to people. Even if they had great credit, they just were not doing mortgages. And, yeah. You know, it was hard to sell. So yeah, we went through that, but we survived. We're still here. And we might have lost a little of that battle, but I think we won the war overall.
Yeah. And the point was really that, you know, if people had a side hustle and had an income property like you're talking about that provided that extra $1,000 a month, a lot of people that lost their homes wouldn't have, because they would have had that extra money to stay in the marketplace.
Correct. And I think for the most part, you hear those people that really did get in trouble, it was because they had a mortgage on their house.
Sure.
And a mortgage is not a bad thing. You know, there's certainly smart debt and dumb debt with, you know, when we borrow things. But, you know, if you did own the house free and clear, then again, nobody can really take it away from you. Good times or bad.
So when we were talking before we started recording, you mentioned somebody's name, a guy that I followed in marketing for a long time. That was Dan Kennedy. So do you mind sharing with our listeners just a little bit of your experience? I mean, it's always interesting because we talked about, or you just mentioned, hey, before internet, before cell phones. And I think back of these big white plastic 3-ring binders that I have with Dan Kennedy's materials and his cassette tapes and all of his books. So, well, what point were you working with Dan?
Yeah, I was in his mastermind group, and myself and about a dozen other guys, we would fly up to his house in Ohio, and we would meet in his basement, and we would do that 4 times a year. That was actually in 2005. And a lot of the principles with writing good copy and headlines that attract and growing a following of people, that all still is pertinent today. But, you know, the online presence we have today with, you know, some of the marketing funnels that you can build with other programs, Infusionsoft, ClickFunnels, etc., that didn't exist back then, or at least at that time, I think Infusionsoft was just starting to emerge. So we did a lot of things with print and paper back then, but the whole concept of writing good copy and the concept of not being boring in your marketing, I think those are timeless things we learned from Dan that will work in any market.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I love his material. At that time I was writing long form multi-step direct mail, direct response to move the sales dial for clients, and was really enjoying his stuff. And we've just taken that, like you said, and we've transitioned that style of attention getting headline, problem agitate solve, what's my USP, what makes me different, what makes me unique compared to everybody else, and just move that into the digital space. Although I still like mail. because I don't know about you, but when I send a letter to somebody that I've maybe met at a chamber of commerce, a networking event, often they'll phone me and go, oh, wow, thanks. I got your letter. As if I had done them some big favor and all I had done was pen them a letter.
What you said is very true, Doug. And, you know, obviously here we are in 2018. And if you look at your inbox for your email, it's gotten really noisy in the last few years. But when I send out direct mail, I guess maybe because I worked for the post office for 16 years and left there at age 35, I understand mail. So I still use direct mail. And in finding house deals, it's actually still very effective. In fact, more so effective today because the lists that you can get with direct mail are much smarter than they ever were. And when I say much smarter, it's like if you're going to market to single family homes, well, the mailing lists you buy today, they don't just know the name of the owner and the address of the property. It actually knows the amount of debt that's on the property. It knows the amount of equity that's on the property. It knows if the property is free and clear. It knows the owner's age. It knows how long they've owned the house. So all these extra filters you can build into your list. So you can develop a very high targeted mailing list with direct mail today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I live in the world of lists, mostly from the email and digital side, but you're right. I mean, you can add all the psychographics in terms of age, income, number of kids, what credit cards they have, what vehicles they drive, where they vacation. So that data is available to make smart decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So we have some lists that we've tested over the years that we've found to be effective, and good old direct mail with just a cheap postcard gets the message out, and it's effective.
So there we go. So there's for my listeners going, what are you talking about direct mail? So, you know, I just published a book on email marketing, but I tell people you need to be tactic agnostic. You need to do what works. And so coming back to your point, huge fan of direct mail. I like the book Blue Ocean Strategy. You go where the crowd isn't, and the crowd right now isn't in direct mail. So you may consider that, listeners, to look at a way to drive your sales, and that's reach out to people via pen and paper.
Yeah, it still works. It still works. In fact, it may speak even louder today because, as we said, a lot of the traffic's shifted toward the inbox, which has been noisy, and very few people are in the mailbox these days.
Yeah, so, absolutely. So yeah. Why don't you share just a little bit about how you got into the podcasting space? I mean, so I didn't know you before. I hadn't heard of your business. And then we fast forward now to the New Media Summit, and in you came. And why don't you just share with our listeners what your thinking was when you walked into the room?
Yeah, I really didn't know what to expect when I got there. I was thinking, did I waste my time, or, you know, what am I doing here? And I wasn't really super clear about the overall objective of it all. But then as I realized that, you know, people are getting exposure on different people's shows, and of course the podcast icons that were present there, they have large followings. And I wasn't sure if my message might be a match to their list or not, but I thought, hey, there's enough commonality that the ones that there is a fit here, they'll pick me up, and, you know, I'll be a guest on their show, and hopefully I can add value to what their listening audience can hear. So that's where I went. I've probably been a guest on 8 or 9 shows now, and I have probably another half dozen or so on the calendar.
Oh, good for you. I was thinking more on your presence. I mean, you did think, you know, just so your listeners know, Tom didn't just show up at the event wondering, oh, what am I going to do? I mean, he did plan, and he did have a strategy to make sure that people noticed and remembered him. So that's what I'm thinking of. Tell us what your thinking was. And, you know, I think, I don't know whether it was something that just came to you before you showed up, but I'm pretty sure you were organized and planned before you got there.
Yeah, thanks. I see where you're going, Doug. Yeah, I needed to come up with some kind of memory hook because I knew there was going to be 150 other people there just like me. And I know how it is when you go to networking events because, you know, probably like a much of your listening audience, they've been to dozens, if not hundreds of them. And, you know, as soon as you get somebody's business card the next day, you don't really remember who they are. So you got to do something outrageous. And as we talked about before the show, you know, Kennedy was always big on, you know, the biggest sin in marketing is being boring. So I figured, how can I really soup this up and utilize my memory hook as Millionaire Mailman? Well, what I did was I went to San Diego, went to that show. I had some little foam rubber houses printed up that, you know, from these promotional companies, they'll do coffee mugs and they call them squishies, I believe. And I had these little foam rubber squishy houses built up with, you know, my contact information, my website, my phone number, who I am, Tom Nardone, Millionaire Mailman, because I wanted to be known as the house flipping coach. That's what I do in this day and age. In addition to my house flipping business, I now coach and train others how they can flip houses as well. So I had that all printed up on these little squishy houses. I did make an announcement to the audience first. I said, these are not going to hurt you. They're squishy. I didn't want them to think I was throwing blocks of wood out to the audience.
I remember that. Yeah.
So they lose their eye or something. So I threw them out in the audience and that was kind of different. They had to dodge them or try to catch them. And the other thing I did was I have my mailman bag from back in my mailman days. And actually, it's not my official bag. I wouldn't want to be caught stealing government property. So I let the post office have the bag, but you can buy anything on eBay these days. I bought a mailman bag, a real mailman bag on eBay. I don't know how that guy got it, but I took that with me and I filled it with the little squishy houses and, you know, I figured what a visual memory hook that would be is. And I carried that bag around me wearing a suit and tie for like 3 days, having the mailman bag and those squishy houses. And by the end of the 3 days, there was no doubt of who Tom Nardone was. He was the millionaire mailman because it was visual and everybody knew what I did. So it worked out well.
Absolutely. And you know, here we are in the podcast and I'm bringing it up because I was one of the 40 guys there, Icons, looking for people to interview on my podcast and to help, you know, share some tips with the audience. And so you had probably the most memorable presence there. I mean, there was lots of great people there, but you really went out of your way. So that's, you know, that's where I'm going. So with our listening audience, I'm saying, you know, Tom took an event that 150 other people paid the same price that he did. They drove, flew, or walked, or however they got to San Diego. And the goal there was to pitch 40 icons on getting them, booking these guys on the podcast. And he did an exceptional job by just being a little bit creative before he got there, taking a risk. And he has a great presence and he just went out there. And so as he's mentioned, he's been on 9 shows, he's got more interviews coming. And it just proves that you don't have to be, you know, 1,000 times better than everybody else. You just need to be a little bit different and have a bit of an edge.
Exactly right.
So well done. Yeah, that was really cool.
Thank you.
So what are you most excited about in the next 6 to 12 months or the next year or so coming up?
I'm most excited about is teaching others the real estate business and seeing how that alone has the ability to change lives. We have seen a lot of people that have been struggling with how they're going to make their bills. A lot of people don't realize that, man, if you're stuck and you've got, say, a $10,000 problem, that if it just had 10 grand in your bank account, it would just get you back on your feet so that you can get ahead. Well, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, in this house flipping game, you're just one flip away from putting 10 grand in your bank account. So that's what I've been teaching and training people to do over the last 5 years, actually, and have done it very successfully to the tune that I think I've had about 600 students that I've worked one-on-one with literally over the last 5 years.
Wow. And so how many homes have you flipped, bought, or sold yourself?
It's been over 250. I've scaled it down now that I got more into the coaching and mentoring part of the business.
Yep.
But we always have one house that we're renovated. We just finished a house here in a little hick town called Okeechobee, Florida, which is between Fort Lauderdale and Orlando. And on Monday, we're closing on another property, which is in Port Charlotte. It's 2 hours away on the west coast of Florida. So what I've found myself having to do, Doug, is actually go outside of my market because, you know, I live in the Boca Raton area, Fort Lauderdale. I'm like 20 minutes from the beach. It's almost become like California in a sense where the prices are getting so pumped up here. Just to do the average house takes like $350,000 or $400,000. But we do have a lot of sleepy towns in Florida that are even in coastal areas where you can still buy a nice house for $75,000 to $100,000. And those numbers are very unintimidating. And a lot of people can afford to live in those houses once they're rehabbed.
That's really cool. So, you know, listeners, you know, I was asking Tom about how many houses he's flipped because you've heard me before talk about my, you know, asking people for advice. So my rules for asking people for advice, if you haven't heard it before, is never ask anyone for advice who hasn't done what you're going to do or hasn't been willing to pay the price that you're willing to pay. So, you know, when you're looking for someone to mentor you or to help you, I'm always looking for people who have had this sort of success that I want.
Sure.
So, and I like your point. You're one flip away. So opposed to a lot of other side hustles, and I'm not sure how much work it takes to get there, but there's not many other projects that you could probably work on the side where you could pop 10 grand in your bank account in one fell swoop.
Exactly. It's, you know, for a lot of people, you know, if they think they would go out and cut grass after work or something. I say that because I literally did that when I was 20 years old. Even though I worked as a postal carrier, it wasn't enough money. I needed to do something else. And I developed a little lawn cutting business after work to give me that extra $500 a month I needed to make my bills. So, you know, there's not a lot of things that you can do where you can slam 5 or 10, or I'm being conservative when I say 10. We've wholesaled some houses, and by wholesaling, I mean you're not going to be rehabbing it. You're not going to be banging the nails and doing all the work. You're just going to get that property under contract and assign the property to another investor who will do all that work, and you just make a quick chunk of money and move on to finding the next deal. That's how I teach a lot of my students to start out today.
That's really neat. So I'm going to ask you a different type of question. I'm borrowing from one of Tim Ferriss's books, and that is, what is some of the bad advice that's in the marketplace with regards to what you're doing right now?
Oh, bad advice is mainly paying too much for things. You know, in the real estate business, or I guess you could say any business where you're buying something and you're going to sell it at retail, you can't pay too much for it. In the real estate business, you know, back 8 years ago in the crash, we all saw a correction here. And if you buy something at what people feel right now is maybe near a top of a market, or certainly approaching a top of a market, you don't want to be stuck at the top. So as more competition comes into the market, people are paying too much. And it's because they don't have the proper foundation of education. They don't realize the right margin you have to have in the property and how you have to buy it right the day you get it. Otherwise, nothing else is going to fall in place if you don't buy it right to start with.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And like you said, that relates to just about any business. So if you're going to sell stuff on eBay or Amazon or whatever, I've heard it said that the profit's made when you buy, not when you sell.
Correct. And you kind of have to know where you are in that trend, right?
Yeah. I mean, we can be wishful thinking and optimist all we want, but the reality is, you know, you're going to have to negotiate the price to make sure that at the end of the day that you've got a profitable transaction.
Sure. And, you know, there's a market for everything. I remember years ago buying blank cassette tapes off of eBay, and try to buy those blank cassette tapes today. You'd have to just about get them for free, right? Because nobody wants cassette tape.
Sure.
So there's a need and a want for everything. And you know, as trends go by and technology changes, some things go obsolete in this world really fast.
Although we do have three adult kids, and we do hear them debating over who's going to get our Nintendo that we still have. And the youngest daughter living at home is going, well, I've got it set up here. And the older two are going, well, I don't think you play with it enough. I should have it.
Well, those are going to be like collector's items soon, or museum pieces soon after.
Yeah, very good. So tell us, who's one guest that you think I should have on my show?
Oh, one guest. Well, Dan Kennedy himself. Have you had him on the show?
I have not. He would be a great guy to have on the show, and I don't know why I didn't think of that.
So I would say that would be the number one pick for me.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So tell us a little bit more. So where can we track you down? Where can we find you? And what are you working on today?
Yeah, well, today I've been doing a lot more writing and a lot of teaching. And if anyone's in the South Florida area, I run a meetup group that's local here on a small basis. You can find me on meetup.com. But I've also written different books and ebooks for audiences like yours, Doug, where, you know, I can teach somebody, even if they don't know how or where to get started in real estate investing, if they're under a crunch where they need to get some money in their bank account, I wrote an ebook for that. It's how to get to your first $10,000 flipping your first house. And they can download that ebook for free.
Oh, cool.
Yep. All they simply have to do is text the word mailman to 31996. It's called a short text code.
Yeah.
So they just need to text the word mailman to 31996, and you'll immediately get a response back for an ebook download and enjoy the book. It's free, and there's a lot of good information on there. And if I can help you in any way, you have any questions, you can also find me at my website, which is simply millionairemailman.com.
That's really cool. There you go again with, well, you know, I'm thinking of the number of guests I've interviewed and the number of events I've been to. And you're the first guy that's using a short code, which totally makes sense to promote your business, make it easy for people to get access to your information. So listeners, you know, again, here's a business that's really hot, people in the real estate market. And here's Tom coming along with a way to make it easy to do his marketing.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I've only seen a few people use it over the years, and I wondered why, because I thought, man, if you're on a podcast and you know, I would hope somebody wouldn't take their hands off the wheel to text. You're not supposed to do that, but you know, I've been guilty of that before. And if I had a short text code, that's probably what I would do, because to write something down while you're driving and wait till you get back to your computer, a lot of times those pieces of paper get lost, or you know, they fall off your list of things to do when you get back to your computer, and sure, and therefore you never get opted in. So if you can remember the word mailman, which is easy to do, and you can remember that 5-digit number, then at a red light, when you stop for gas, you can opt in, and it's a real handy tool.
There you go. Well, that's really cool. Hey, I want to say thanks so much for you taking the time. I mean, I was so looking forward to having you on my show after having met you. And when I saw your appointment come in, I went, hooray. I was looking forward to this because, you know, you're a really inspiring guy. I think you've done some really good things, obviously for yourself and for your family. And now you're sharing those with other people. And, you know, people need to take note that, you know, you can take a business that's a hot business now, the real estate market, and, anybody has the opportunity to get there and take advantage of some of the tools that you've given them and look at that to leverage a side hustle.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the kind words, and I hope, you know, people got some value of what I've been able to share here today. I think we threw a couple ideas that maybe people have maybe not heard of before, and that's good. It'll give them the edge.
Well, let's hope so. So that's another episode, listeners. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you'll head over to the show notes. We'll make sure that we have all of the links to Tom's websites and social media sites there so you can follow up with them as well. We'll make sure that the short code there, the 31996 mailman, is there for you in case you didn't have a chance to jot it down. And again, thanks to Tom for showing up bigger than life, just like he did in San Diego. So my tip to you is if you're going to go out to a networking event, you're going to do something in marketing, what are you going to do that's going to make you stand out from the crowd? My question to my clients all the time is, if you were standing in front of an audience of people who could write you a check and beside you were all your competitors, why would they pick you? So thanks for tuning in. Don't be shy. Sign up for our mailing list and make sure you give us a shout out and share this episode on social media. So thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to serving you on our next episode.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.